What a great way to start the week on the Mike O'Mara Show. We are so lucky to have in the living room studio today, really the secret weapon of the Obama re-election campaign. Ladies and gentlemen, former President William Jefferson Clinton.
How are you?
Hey, Bill.
How are you? It's great to see you.
I love when you come by. You have been busy.
I've been very busy. I'm campaigning for the president, and I just think it's wonderful that that they're, you know, giving me so much credit.
Didn't you used to have
well,
sort of a
how
forced...
are you, Oscar?
I'm great.
How's the club scene?
Club scene is great.
Good. Looking forward to getting out and maybe partying with you next time I'm in the area.
You've been busy, Mr. President. I don't
know
what to do.
I've been very, very busy just giving speeches and on the stump.
Now, didn't you used to
speaking of stump, do you still have that guy, Dennis Murphy, calling your show?
Big fan of his, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah, funny guy.
Didn't you used to have sort of a strained relationship with our current president?
Well, it might still be strained.
But, I hear that.
You know,
yes.
I'm doing what I feel I should do for the party and for the country. And of course, when you travel the world, you get an opportunity to reach out and meet so many good people, so many kind people, so many.
Have you been reaching
lovely,
out?
Lovely, pretty women.
Have you been reaching out?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Constantly
who have you
reaching?
Met lately? Any
well,
names jump to mind?
The way it works, I'll fly into a city.
Uh-huh.
I'll do just one overnight.
Yeah.
I'll do three or four speeches.
You fly commercial?
Well, occasionally I do, but no, I'm using the campaign facilities.
Good. Boy.
And I'll fly in, and then I'll just I'll linger. I'll linger after the speech, and then I'll linger in the hotel lobby of wherever I might be staying.
Do you get there
area.
Early? Do you get there early?
Can I give you a little tip?
Yeah,
please do.
Jacksonville, Florida.
Really?
You want to talk about poontang?
It's a hotbed.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
So to speak.
I was in the Marriott lobby. No, I don't want to go into.
Now, let me ask you. Wait. While you're talking schedule, let's say you have a Saturday speech.
Yeah, Saturday speech.
What day do you get to Jacksonville?
Friday afternoon.
Friday afternoon.
Friday, if I can, but usually Saturday morning.
And then you stay until.
I stay. It depends. Depends on my schedule.
Let's say your schedule's wide open.
Well, my schedule's I can maybe stay in a particular city for 3 or 4 days.
Wow, really?
Yes, and sometimes I'll leave the hotel on the second day, and I'll stay at an undisclosed location.
Oh, I understand.
So when you say Marriott, I think the American public needs to know.
Sure.
There are great deals at the Marriott Courtyard.
Yeah,
and
well, no, the Courtyard's not where I stay.
Oh, where do you stay?
I stay usually at the JW Marriott, upscale facility.
The high rises.
The high ends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Not a courtyard. Are you kidding me?
I just thought, you know.
You ever try to bring a date back to the courtyard?
It's not traveling.
I never have.
I might as well just tape an L on my forehead. You're great.
I had my senior prom there.
Hey, does this place still have that that great Peruvian chicken in this town?
Oh, the Bolivian chicken. You're in the classic South American chicken district.
I know where listen.
Still a couple open.
Oh, God. Here
we go. Let me tell you something.
What? Now it's serious. All of a sudden he's serious about chicken.
He's pointing.
I know everything about geography all over these United States.
Really? States and capitals?
And I know where we are.
Okay, where are we?
We are in the heart of Manassas.
Right.
Virginia, yes.
In the historic drugstore district.
Yes.
Do you know why they call it that?
I do.
Why?
I have an encyclopedic understanding of our geography.
I know you do.
Within 3 square miles of this particular home,
yes.
I know that there are 47 drugstores.
That's right. Do you visit drugstores?
With 2 more under construction.
Do you visit drugstores?
I do occasionally.
What do you buy?
Zovirax.
What does that do?
For a friend.
Oh, I see.
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. President.
Yes, yes. Hello, Oscar.
Are you here in Manassas looking for the Latino vote or the OxyContin vote?
I'm a little combination of both.
Okay.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh.
If you can find me a group of 13 or 14 Latinos that are addicted to OxyContin, I think we've got a chance of winning in November.
Now, Mr. President, speaking of that, I have to ask you, because you're being credited with giving the president a tremendous bounce in the polls with your inspiring convention speech.
Wondrous.
Why do you think Americans still embrace you and cling to you as they do?
Two words. Magnetic charisma.
I applaud that.
And you know, I wasn't going to bring it up, but I felt it when you came in the room.
Did you really?
We all
did.
Yeah, moved a little.
I don't particularly care about you.
Mr. President.
Just kidding.
You like, but him you like?
No.
No? Well, how about Buzz?
No, I actually, Oscar and I will go out later on this afternoon and we'll find some people we like.
Did you know?
Wing man.
Did you know?
Wing
I'm man. Sorry, before Oscar, did you know it's Mrs. O'Mara's birthday today?
Carla?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know her?
First name basis.
Same.
Yeah, boy. Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Thought you'd be interested.
Let me be the first to say happy birthday, dear. I remember shaking your hand at Chuck Ross.
Do you really remember that?
Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was standing next to some fat man who was sweating profusely. Yes.
Mr. President, you're infamous at times, and you know, as friends, it's awkward for me to ask you this.
Yes, yes, go ahead, ask away.
You have women in your life that kiss and tell.
Yes.
And speaking of charisma,
they've all lied.
We've got
all of them.
Rumors that a former associate of yours, and I use associate with air quotes, is writing a book about her encounters with you.
Well, let me just say I have not read the book. I do not know the woman you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Monica Lewinsky.
Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah, she's writing a book.
I just want to say before I read the book, it's all a pack of lies.
Uh-huh. You've not even read it.
Speaking of books, have you read 50 Shades of Gray?
I sure have.
Yeah. What do you pick up any tips or pointers from
must
that?
Reading for every man.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah, it's a must read.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Does he? Does the guy? I think his name is Vincent Gray.
Gray.
Does he practice active love?
Active love.
And you're still a big proponent of that.
Big proponent of that, and also just a little S&M.
Just a touch.
Just a touch.
Just enough to get you by.
You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
By the way, there's douchebags everywhere. It's not just the 35-year-olds. There's plenty of douchebags in my generation, too. Yeah. And I'm going to just point a few of you out. I got a new rule. It's called you better be in a band rule. Yeah, this is it. If you're 50 years old and you got receding gray hairline, but you've grown that f***ing hair into a big giant ponytail that goes all the way down to your ass, you better be the bass player for Brian f***ing Adams. I'm telling you right now. Because if I see you and you're not the bass player for Brian Adams, I'm f***ing cutting that ponytail right off. Cut the f***. What are you trying to do? Grow it back down to your ass, up through your ass, and back out of your ears? What the f*** is going on? Cut the f***ing hair. If you're 52 years old and you got a giant gold hoop earring in one ear, you better be a f***ing pirate. You better be a f***ing pirate or Johnny Depp's f***ing stunt double. I'm just telling you right now. And if you're 52 years old and you're a man and you're on Facebook, do us all a favor. Log the f*** off. Now. Log off the planet.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara. Buzz Burbank. Rob Spiewak. Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Dennis Leary.
Yes, funny man.
A recent Dennis Leary
concert. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Still back touring. Yeah. Live from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studios, this is America's most beloved podcast, The Mike O'Mara Show. We are downloaded more than 15 million times, Whoa. And we are heard in 150 countries worldwide. It is Monday, September 17, 2012, and we are delighted to have you along with us. Our show today is brought to you by TLC Laser Eye Center.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, normally you read the copy before the show starts. There are all these instructions up at the top that yes. I didn't read before
just
the show.
Skip those and talk about how excited you are to get rid of glasses.
I am very excited about my upcoming meeting with the doctors at TLC. Their staff is friendly. The surgeons are experienced. TLC's equipment is always state-of-the-art, and the TLC lifetime commitment is huge. TLC has locations all over the nation. If you move, you're covered. To schedule a free consultation and to see what you've been missing, call 877-TLC-2020. That's 877-TLC-2020. Or to find TLC online, go to LASIK. That's LASIK.com. LASIK.com. And be sure to tell them you heard about TLC on the Mike O'Mara Show. Mm-hmm. TLC Laser Eye Center. And I think within the next 2 weeks, I have my meeting with the doctors over there, and then I'll let you know. And if I'm not a candidate, one of you guys gets to do
it. I'm going to miss your Clark Kent-styled glasses.
Really?
Because today you are the Clark Kentiest.
Thank you. I need them.
I know you do.
I need them. I hope I don't need them. But,
soon,
we'll
maybe not.
I can see two other pairs laying around from even where I sit.
Well, I buy. These are regular, like, prescription, go to the eye doctor glasses, and then I got the drugstore glasses all over the house.
Yeah, the Clint Eastwood model.
And it gets worse and worse and worse. Especially if I cheat on my Weight Not program and drink wine like I did Saturday night.
That will affect your vision.
Well, yes. Totally affects my vision. It's still blurry today.
Luckily, you didn't do that.
Today on the program, it is Happy Birthday, Carla Day. I wanted to say
that. Yay!
Talk about my lovely birthday weekend. Saturday Night Live got some thoughts about the new season. I know Buzz checked it out as well. Mm-hmm. And a very interesting political theory that is going to make me sound like a left-wing version of Glenn Beck, but I'll save that for later in the show.
What could possibly go wrong?
No, what spurred me on is an old buddy of mine, a guy that used to own Champions, Michael O'Hara.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys get his Facebook post, too. He posts a lot of different stuff on Facebook, and I think this is a quote from Franklin Roosevelt that he posted, and it just got my mind thinking in a very paranoid way.
Before you think that way, is it actually Roosevelt's quote? Because a lot of times people make stuff up. A lot of people make stuff up about
they
that.
Do. They do.
I'm going to do what the pundits do. I'm just going to make it up. That's and right. give you my harebrained conspiracy theory.
Oh, you and your harebrained.
a new movie that I saw a trailer for on the aforementioned Facebook, and I'm a 53-year-old on Facebook, so Dennis Leary would tell me to log the F off.
But, Mike, you use it as a tool.
I was going to talk to Mark about his new hero, RG3, where the bubble burst yesterday for the beloved Redskins here in town. And before we do anything else, I want to welcome a very special guest from a good friend of mine. I've known this young lady for a very long time. They've been friends of mine. She is tragically married to my good friend Bill Harvey.
It's a tough break, isn't it?
Mr. Ohio State. This is his wife and the lady who has made it possible for yours truly to go to Haiti in October with the Helping Haitian Angels organization. Debbie Harvey is
here.
Debbie.
Welcome, thank Debbie. You, Mike. Thanks for having me.
It's we wanted to promote a big event that's coming up this coming Saturday. It's at the Barrel Oak Winery in where's the town?
Delaplaine,
Virginia.
Yes. Of course.
It's a and you guys should come out. It's a fundraiser for Helping Haitian Angels, an organization that helps these wonderful orphans down in Haiti. Mm. And we're going to be out there this coming Saturday. They've got hors d'oeuvres. They've got wine. They've got a live auction. They've got a silent auction.
More wine, Mr. O'Mara?
I'm not going to touch any.
I don't know. I think just a touch.
No, I swear to God. Wine will not be. That's the way Saturday went for me. Wine won't touch my lips for another month and a half.
I think that's right.
Do you have a phone call?
Maybe a month.
I did. Right. Not anymore.
So there it is. So it's a big event for, before we talk about the fundraiser, if you can, in a paragraph or so, just tell us, Helping Haitian Angels, you started this this organization a while ago, right?
We started, Mike, in mid-2008.
And what it was a mission trip where you all went down with a church group to Haiti, and you decided when you were down there that this was, you know, it really affected you, and you... That's when the whole thing started, right?
Yeah. We found, it was my first trip. Bill had been going for years, and we found 35 kids that were half dead and starving and injured and drinking horrible contaminated water, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and then they started an orphanage down there, and you now have plans to build a brand new facility with not only the residence for the kids, but a school and a little area, a worship area over there where they're going to be down there. And this whole thing just went crazy. How many times have you been to Haiti in your life right now?
In the last 4 years, Mike, probably, about 8 times a year.
8 times a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
A lot.
That is
so
a lot.
It sounds like you've accomplished quite a bit in 4 years.
We have. You know, we have some awesome people that go with us, Mike, in about 4 weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, they're not all awesome, are they?
Oh, he's awesome. He and Carla are going to be awesome.
Carla will be awesome.
Carla's really kind of like looking forward to the trip. I might be freaking out a little bit at this stage.
Oh, no.
Don't like to fly.
That's right. And you won't come back?
I'm only freaking out about the plane to Haiti.
So, Mike, the plane to Haiti is...
Widening a rubber band, you know.
It's not bad. The toilet in the back won't work, so that'll stink. And there's 30 people on it, max, including the two pilots and the flight attendant.
If you fasten your seat rope, it'll be fine.
That's right.
It's a plane with 30 people on it?
Yeah, including the flight staff.
He's starting to sweat. Yeah. Look at him.
You know, Debbie, I've worked with Mike a long time, and even if it's not true, tell him right before he flies, just say, we've upgraded you to business class.
that will cheer him up.
It really will. You'll get much more out of him during the trip.
That would be the first row.
Oh, yeah, I would think so.
Let me ask you about the work that you're doing. It has to be terribly, terribly gratifying to get these kids the clean water that they need, the food, the clothing, the shelter, and whatever you can do for their minds and their souls. It must be equally frustrating about all the people and especially the kids you can't get to.
It is, Buzz. You're exactly right. Mike alluded to our future and our village that we plan to build, and we will be able to take more kids at that time. So that'll be awesome. But you're right. There's over 1 million orphans in Haiti.
Wow.
And we have 44 right now, and hopefully in a year or so we'll have over 100.
It starts there.
How big of a country is Haiti for the geographically challenged?
It's about the size of the state of Maryland. So
okay,
it's tiny.
Oh, wow. Yeah. To have that many orphans. Wow.
Do you mind addressing, there's probably a lot of people listening right now that remember all these like huge fundraisers for Haiti after the earthquake.
There was a telethon even, I believe.
Yeah, and we covered here on the program. For me, I think it's important people understand the political landscape of Haiti and how these funds, whether they went to the Red Cross or they went directly to private organizations, how they are disseminated to all the people out there. And if they are, or if they're able to get it, if they're not, what happens?
I'm glad you asked that, Oscar, because a lot of people don't understand that. Billions were raised for Haiti. Only 3% have been seen of that money in the country to the people. Only 3%. And there's a few reasons. One, the Red Crosses, the major organizations that raise that money, have not given it to Haiti because of corruption in the in the government, the on down.
Mm-hmm. So they're scared that if they were to give them the money wouldn't go to where it was needed to go anyway.
And then, yes, that's exactly right. And then a lot of it has gotten there, but there's a lot of theory about how the money should be used in Haiti. And if you just send money down and expect and fix things and then expect them to understand how to continue that, it's not going to happen.
Understood.
You have to teach and educate them as well and learn with them. Learn their, the best way for them.
You talked about Debbie and Bill gave the newbies, the people that are going to be going to Haiti for the first time, just a wonderful evening of indoctrination on what to expect. And they prepare us for the trip. They tell us the do's and the don'ts when you're going to go down there. Because you talked about when you guys went down for the first few times, you failed forward, where you would have to figure out something to do. And Bill told a story about, I think he was building a wall. And he was working outside, and he saw up on a hill 30 to 40 men that were looking at him.
Waiting,
and
hovering.
And one of the things, you know, people go down with these groups, and they want to build things. They want to do carpentry. And when the real way to help these people is to hire them to do the work, because that's what they want more than anything else. These
they want to work for pay.
These men want to work. They want to work for a wage, which is a fraction of what we pay here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And that was I thought that was an amazing story he told about that, where they were staring at him, and he found out that was one of the ways where you didn't realize that until somebody said, yeah, they want to work. How much do they cost? Let's hire them. And you had 30 people working on the wall the next day.
You're exactly right. And everyone that wants to go down with us says, I want to get my hands dirty. I want to build. I want to do something. I want to do something that matters. But you're exactly right, Mike. That's the important thing, is hiring them for $10 a day to dig the ditches and build the wells and make the cinder block to make the building. That's the key, is employing them. A study was just done, and thousands of Haitians were asked, what's the number one thing you need right now for your family? And everybody thought it would be shelter, because this was a lot of tent city people.
Right.
Shelter, clean water, and education. And what they learned is they were wrong on all three, that the number one thing the Haitian people wanted was a job so that they could do it themselves.
Self-worth.
and not have the handouts.
Mm-hmm. Are you still waiting for Mike to say he's dying to get his hands dirty? Because I think it's going to be a long wait. Did that ever come up at the
never
meeting?
Never came out of my mouth. That's never come out. What
Mike
Debbie
said is, can we pack Purell?
What Debbie told me, and this is one of the things I'm jacked about to go on the trip, is that a lot of this trip is getting to know the kids, and they love the human contact. I guess their excitement comes from when you bring the new people down to meet the new people that come in and to interact with the you know, these are orphans that need a lot of love, and they love that part of it. And that's what I'm looking forward to the most, is just getting a chance to meet the kids and hang out with the kids.
Well, not everybody has a podcast and can get away to go down and get their hands dirty. We found out that throwing money at the problem doesn't really help. You've got this fundraiser coming up. That's one way people can help this cause, the cause that you're working for.
And we'll have a link to Helping Haitian Angels. It's helpinghaitianangels.org. We'll have a link on the website.
So in addition to that fundraiser, you could also give through this website, and it would go to people who are getting their hands dirty, giving that real help.
That is true. And to our kids. Mm-hmm. We expect everybody to raise their money to go down with us, and we take about 100 people a year. Mm-hmm. So yes, that money would go to that, but the majority of the money goes to the kids. We have no paid employees. We're all volunteers.
Good to know.
And all of the money goes to
our
kids.
So there is a way people can help without fearing that the money will be lost.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's very important, Buzz, is finding an organization that you know where your money is going. Right. Very important.
And one of the things you were talking about was how slow. How long have you had the orphanage, the new village, as you like to call it,
How long has that been on the drawing board? Because, I mean, it's just, I know you guys, I remember you talking about it for a long time, but things move slowly in Haiti as far as the government and regulation.
Yeah, you're right. We have a line. It's Haiti. And everything in Haiti moves slowly. It's been over 2 years. July of 2010, we started the process to acquire 40 acres in northern Haiti. And we're almost done. Almost done.
And you must be very frustrated if things are moving at a Haiti speed. However, I think you need to underscore the fact that if you made your first trip to Haiti roughly 4 years ago and you've already got something on the drawing board, well, that's pretty amazing because that's moving at lightning speed.
Thank
you. To get it done that fast. And Mike, there is right now on our website, if people are listening live, a banner to link to HaitianAngels.org. Mark is right on top of it. So just click and help out if you can.
That's great.
Talk about the fundraiser coming up this Saturday night. This is your big one of the year, right?
It is our biggest.
I get to be your charming little auctioneer, and
nice.
You know, not that we weren't that prepared last year, but I did the auction from a ladder.
Yes.
This year. Yeah, we're going to probably try to upgrade it a little bit this year. We've
go up on that ladder, get your hands dirty, Mike.
Rearrange things, and you know, it's going to be nice. I think it's going to be a little hopefully a little warmer than it was last year.
It'll definitely be warmer. I looked at the weather this morning. So if it stays good, the way it said this morning, it should be 80 degrees and beautiful.
Ooh. Perfect.
Yeah, wow. It'll be nice. But it's in Delaplain, Virginia, Barrel Oak Winery. Mm-hmm. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year. We have awesome silent auction items, live auction items, great wine, probably about 300 plus people. Mike, of course, who is a really great attraction.
I've always said that.
Can I offer counterpoint?
Almost as big as the pandas.
cute as a baby panda.
I saw the panda this morning. What time does it start at Barrel Oak Winery?
It's 5:30. 5:30 to 9:30. They close promptly at 9:30, so they'll get us out. But we have a great band called the Stink Bugs. And
that's cool.
It's just going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. And doing a lot of good things for our kids in Haiti.
Well, the thing starts at 5:30, goes till 9:30. You can come out there, hang out, drink a little wine.
It's a pretty drive,
you know, heckle me during the
dance to the Stink Bugs.
The auction, the Stink Bugs are out there. It's
going
to be great.
Them,
and all this is, you know, going towards it. We were sitting there and we had we had a little golf outing for some key people for helping Haitian Angels, and we're sitting around with a table of like 20 people. And somehow the idea came up. Carl and I were sitting there. Well, you guys should go. You should really go. And I looked at Carl and she looked at me, and we just finally, you know, this is the year, I always say, this is the year of yes, where after, you know, being saddled with, you know, radio commitments and everything like this, the flexibility to do this. And you guys should all be aware of the fact that this is kind of a frontiersman trip down there, because I'm going to be checking it out for perhaps a future trip when we go down there and maybe...
Can't wait to get my hands dirty, Mike.
Awesome. What is the single best thing about all of this in your experiences with going down to Haiti? What makes you tick? I mean, I was thinking about it the other day, Debbie, that you do this, you know, 9 times a year. I mean, just you're down there constantly. And I know that it's gratifying, but it's also, I'm sure it takes a lot out of you. And what makes you do this?
And you're right, it is tough at times. But the biggest thing, Mike, would be the kids down there, the 44 kids down there are just as important to me as my 3 kids here. So I like to tell people I have 47 kids, and it would be like not seeing your kids for a while, and you walk in that orphanage and they just jump all over you and hugging and kissing you. And that's probably it. And just letting them know that our whole point is building relationships and letting them know that they matter and that they're not just an orphan in a third world country that isn't going to grow up to be anything. We like to say that we're raising the next generation of Haitians that's going to change their country.
Right.
So that's pretty much it, is just building that relationship with them. They're my kids.
That's great.
One thing I take away from that I didn't realize is oftentimes when you see any organization helping people in need in another land, it is such a faceless, nameless problem. There are people in a country, and they are in a way that needs help. Mm-hmm. And you just described to me that you know these 44 kids. What are their age ranges? Can you give us an idea of the kids? Obviously, you know them very well. Where do they range from?
Probably
age?
Name all of them.
Yeah. I could name every one of them.
It's only an hour show.
Yeah, but Andres is our littlest one. She's 2 and a half.
Oh, my God.
And then we go up to Yolande, who's 18. And we're probably 50% boys, 50% girls, but 2.5 to 18, and they're all awesome. You'll be doing the limbo with most of them, Mike.
Oh my God!
Yeah, you'll be doing the limbo.
I'll be bending forward though when I do this. But
poor knee.
You travel light when you go to Haiti. This is our. Are you ready for our? You know, you think of vacation travel.
Right. Yeah,
this is what we're taking: a 12-pound backpack.
Wow,
that's it.
Everybody takes a 12-pound backpack, and that's it.
Your life is reduced to 12 pounds.
Because our stuff, we bring the stuff down for the orphanage, which are 50 pounds, which are allowed on the airlines, and so we'll be doing that. And, trying to get myself into shape for hiking around Haiti and getting this stuff done. So
you're
going
to be a changed man when you come back.
Yeah. Is there now everything that you covered in the meeting the other night, is there anything else that I should be ready for Haiti? Is there anything that I should have on my plate?
Well, besides kids jumping all over you, slobbering and laughing, and
can handle that.
Yeah, whatever. But the hike to the Citadel is going to be tough.
Yeah, there's an old fortress in Haiti, which apparently they do this with every group, and it's a vertical climb of 1 mile.
It's about a mile. It takes most people about 45 minutes.
Clear, get the paddles.
Uh-oh. We'll see. But they do have little donkeys that will take you up if you get stuck and can't make the hike. But yeah, it's a switchback.
Mr. O'Mara, your burro is here.
Little three-wheel donkeys.
And as far as the progress, your area is Cap-Haitia, which is not Port-au-Prince, which has had the earthquake and so many other problems. As far as when you started working down there, progress report to where they are. Is there progress? I mean, is there progress happening on the island?
There's progress. I definitely think there's progress. We are in Cap-Haitien, which is the northernmost, second largest city in Haiti next to Port-au-Prince. We're about 90 miles as a crow flies. It's a 7-hour drive because the roads are terrible, but it is about 90 miles. But yes, there are 4 traffic lights in Cap-Haitien right now. There was never a traffic light. There are stop signs. There are a couple more hotels. Cap-Haitien is a little bit different, but I definitely see progress. You still see tent cities in Port-au-Prince, but there's clearly progress.
That's good. That's good to know. Helping Haitian Angels. Congratulations to you guys. I said this to you the other night at your house. I said, I'm so proud of you and Bill that have taken this on, and just, you two are Bill and Debbie Harvey are one thing. They're energetic, and if they take something on, you got some great people behind you with that. They're really, and I'm very proud of both of you that you've done this. And I'm very excited. Carl and I are excited to go down there and see all the great work that you've done down there. And I want everybody to come out to the Barrel Oak Winery on Saturday and support this event, because
Please
it's a wonderful cause. And you kicked ass on the show. Way to go, Debbie.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now get out of here. Thank you. Debbie Harvey.
Appreciate it. Thanks,
thank
Mike.
You so much.
We will take a short break. When we come back, more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. And thanks to Debbie. As Gangnam Style starts playing in the back. Thanks to Debbie from helping Haitian Angels. We'll be right back, everybody.
Click that banner. 낮에는 따사로운 인간적인 여자, 커피 한 잔에 여유를 아는 품격 있는 여자, 밤이 오면 심장이 뜨거워지는 여자, 그런 반전 있는 여자.
I never get tired of seeing this guy.
It's so great.
I know he's a one-hit wonder. Everybody says that, but I still love it. I like the fact that he's just being completely exploited by the media. He's drinking it all up. And I friggin' love it. The second segment of our program is brought to you by TryLendingTree.com. You're still thinking about refinancing your home, but you just don't know where to start. The answer is LendingTree.com. Just go to TryLendingTree.com, fill out one simple form, and let their network of over 200 lenders compete for your business totally free. And customers are saying things like, LendingTree rocks. They took me from a first inquiry to a refi loan closing with the notary coming to my house on a Sunday in 30 days. Unbelievable. That's LendingTree.com, T-R-Y, LendingTree.com. Get a free mortgage guide when you enter the code TMOS or call 866-291-2010. You'll be confident you got the best deal. Visit TryLendingTree.com and enter the code TMOS. Hit the disclaimer.
Terms and conditions apply. Visit website for details. NMLS license number 1136, 1312 Village Creek Drive. Suite 900, Plano, Texas 75093.
Buzz, could you do that in Korean?
No.
I would love that.
Barely do it in English.
Gangnam Style.
You see him on Saturday Night Live?
I thought Saturday Night Live for the debut episode, I thought, first of all, great guest to have, a guy that can do voices, Seth MacFarlane, and of course, I knew it. I'm watching his monologue, and I'm feeling it. I'm just feeling Carla's brain working, and we watched it last night on TiVo, and I'm sitting there feeling it, and I knew at a certain point, it's like, and here it comes. You ought to do that.
Yeah, you should host Saturday Night Live.
I love it when there's a guy that has some of, you know, he does voices. Yes. And so,
why aren't you doing
that? She was saying you should do that.
Well, like sing a song.
At your live show.
And sing a song and incorporate your voices into it. Yeah.
I'm like, stop.
Well, he's a wonderful singer, and he's beautiful, and he's skinny. And that's one of, you know, he was one of the things we didn't get to in our What We Hate show.
You sing one.
But Seth MacFarlane?
I hate Seth MacFarlane.
Yes, I do too.
That's just jealousy, right?
It's totally based on that.
Sure. But I really thought some of the new cast members, the lady that did the Hispanic voice on Weekend Update was really, really funny. I love that Jay Farrow, a guy I had the pleasure of interviewing last year, got the new gig as Barack Obama because he is a legitimate impressionist.
Actually, you know, I've got that. I've got him for the vault. Do you want to hear a little of him now?
Yeah, I thought his Barack Obama was spot on.
And I like the fact that, I mean, maybe it's shallow. I like that they're letting the black guy do the black president.
I
think that's a little overdue.
I totally agree.
Here's Jay Farrow.
It's nice to have something to laugh about right now because people are out of work. They're living with their parents, collecting junk. It's like we got a Sanford and Son economy.
Great.
You remember that?
Yeah.
It's that bad.
But I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, really. And you know, the stammer.
And the other thing is that I think it will be very telling how they do next week, because keep in mind the season premiere of Saturday Night Live, they have 5 months to write that show.
To prepare for it, yeah.
They've got to turn another one down in 6 days.
The Clint Eastwood bit was hysterical.
Yeah.
You know, I'm warming to that show a little bit more. I think it's kind of go-to television now.
Well, it's interesting now because it's not the same cast.
Right. Right. But
think about it. Mm-hmm. I loved all those superstars that were on there, and I always wondered why they didn't leave earlier.
Yep. Right.
But then you wonder, well, it's a free paycheck, and clearly they're getting exposure.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
So on their end, that's what you would stay. But when a new crop comes in of this magnitude, you want to see what they're about.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was fun. It was really fun.
I liked the new Obama. I liked Seth MacFarlane. I liked Weekend Update, but I thought the show overall was pretty average
for modern times. I can't say. I don't know if it was average. It was just, I'm warming to it in that there's so much other crap that you see.
We need a show like that.
And it's a throwback, you know, with all the reality television that's on there. You know,
yes, thank you.
And it's nice to finally see something, you know, where there's sketches that are written and all
that. What I like is that not only do they have the new cast going on, there was like four people that are now featuring. And that's sort of like the soft open when they have people that they bring in to see how they do. I think they're really trying to re-energize. I think they're very scared that Kristen Wiig is gone.
And I think one of the reasons they hang out and the reason they hang around is they're waiting for that sketch.
That break.
Yep.
That one thing that will strike the national consciousness, and then all of a sudden you get the movie deal and you're on your way.
Right.
You know, and you know, Bobby Moynihan or whatever. I don't think it's going to happen, dude.
Is that the fat guy?
Yeah, I think that's the fat guy.
Yeah. I think.
That's the thing. You have to ask who's that guy.
You don't have to know.
He's been on the show for like 5 years.
Yeah, we should
know. Who's the fat black guy that's on there?
I don't know. Oh, I do. That's Keenan.
Keenan.
He was on Keenan and Kel.
Ivory
Wayne.
See,
is it Keenan? But he was in Good Bird.
His name is Keenan.
There's a black guy and a fat guy.
Right.
And that's the cast.
Well, you know what? But he should get the movie based on the talk show where he sits. I love that.
Thank you. Oh, you mean What's Up With That?
Yeah, I love that.
What's Up With That?
I think that should be a movie.
You might be alone on that one.
It's fun.
Movie.
Carla's birthday weekend.
A long movie.
It's her birthday today, but we celebrated the birthday weekend. I talked about the fact that I stayed on my weight, not food. I did not stay on my weight, not drink. And let me tell you something. When you fast and you lose 12 pounds in a week, and then you decide you're going to have a bottle and a half of wine.
A lot of wine.
I wondered why I slept till 11:30 in the morning. Then I got up, went downstairs, got a drink of water at my mother-in-law's house, went back upstairs, and slept till 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Whoa.
Got on my motorcycle, drove from the house, stopped by 7-Eleven, drank almost an entire thing of Gatorade, came home, sat in my easy chair, got up, and then threw it up.
Hey, there you go.
That was my Sunday. Food did not come into my body yesterday.
What was it, the red wine?
Red wine.
Yeah.
Red wine.
Can come go right to your head sometimes.
It's amazing. I really cannot believe
how thin today.
But it's great because now that'll take care of me for the whole month.
You've got a little sleep.
So. Back
you
on that.
Dry
I'm,
out?
Yeah, I'm going to completely dry out.
Nice.
But, scrub that toilet?
I think I just got giddy, you know, with the wine. You know,
like, clearly.
We had such a good old time. And I was really, red wine makes me into I love you, Mike. You know, and I'm saying that to everybody.
Yeah.
I love you. You can live with us, mom-in-law. You can stay in our house and our bedroom and stay in the closet.
Isn't it great the way different spirits affect people in different ways?
Uh-huh.
And
right.
Wine is one of the best drugs.
Irish whiskey is more like, that is a great joke. I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah,
gin is Mike, fighting right. booze also.
When we were all on WJFK, and we were all gainfully employed by a major broadcasting
Stop
network.
Reminding us.
That seems like a million years ago.
Now, I remember
it?
Sitting at a bar with you, and you're drinking red wine. And you said, and I had just, I think, given away a motorcycle on Big O and Dukes, and we were doing. And you looked at me, you said, "You should get a Harley." And I said, "Well, yeah, that would be interesting one day. I just got my license, but I don't know if I'm ready for that type of motorcycle. I'm just gonna get you one. I'm just gonna get you one. We're gonna get you one. We're gonna work that out." And I was like, "Wow." Mike's like in such a great mood today.
Yeah.
He's buying Harley Davidsons.
It's the early stages of it,
too.
Yeah,
it was awesome. It was awesome.
When I'm lucid, too.
It was awesome.
All I know is
it was so awesome.
Carla's mom's got a pool in the back of her house, and I went downstairs to the pool deck like late in the evening. Meanwhile,
everyone else in the house is getting their camera phones ready because they know something bad's about to happen.
I guess Carla came down and got me, and I was just sitting by the pool that had the pool cover still on it. Mm-hmm. Just like...
Yeah, one of those nights, huh?
It was one of those nights.
We should take the pool cover off.
Nobody
go swimming.
Mike is swimming under the pool cover to keep fresh.
Nobody got hurt, though. Thank God.
Carl, have a nice birthday.
Yeah. Well, she had, when we got home last night, I we were doing a lot of TiVo TV. I watched the Redskins' heartbreaking loss.
Yeah.
Then I watched Knocked Out 60 Minutes, and then it was kind of the land of TiVo, and I decided it's, still the birthday weekend. It's Dealer's Choice.
Dealer's Choice.
Which would be why I wrote it down, why I watched Lifetime's Elizabeth Smart story.
Oh, no. My. Are you sure that's not the reason you threw up? Because that would do it for me.
It was followed by, I drew a line in the sand on the Drew Peterson story.
Good for you.
Yeah, good, Mike.
But I guess that's all men that have abducted or killed women, they profile them on Lifetime.
And women love to watch them.
Yeah, they like to watch that.
There's a Drew Peterson show every third hour on Lifetime. It's a good network.
I was sad that Mark wasn't going to be here today. He's working from home today.
Not me.
So RG3, I guess that bubble has burst a little bit to a certain extent.
Well, he had a first 12 seconds of the game.
He did. He had a good first half.
I watched the game. It's just anyone's human.
It's what the Redskins do.
No, but
the Redskins, the Redskins win a game they're not supposed to win. They go down, they kick the ass out of the New Orleans Saints, and then they come back.
Everybody gets excited.
And everybody, now there's been enough pain where people know a team they're supposed to crush, the St. Louis Rams, and they got beat yesterday. So it was a frustrating day. The discipline level of NFL football players, really, sometimes it blows. I don't like to do sports talk, but I will tell you, number 15, really? I don't know what the F is. His name was the guy that threw the football at the other guy for the Redskins, literally 15 yards that ended the game.
Yep.
That one, because he's a little bitch, he throws the ball at the other players because he got pushed, because he can't control his childlike four-year-old emotions, and he costs his team a game. I would walk in the next day, I go, "Hey, thanks so much, but that was
I thought of that,
my friend.
You can't do it.
Yeah, really. Strike three. Thank you very much.
One thing that did cross my mind, and I'm sorry that that RG3, the bubble so-called burst, I just don't want him to be the savior of the team. I want the savior of the team to be
the team.
Snyder getting rid of himself somehow.
Yeah.
I don't want a player to come
in.
I know, but I don't want a player to come in and fix things. I know it can't possibly happen.
They are still better off than they were last year.
Oh, they're a lot better off. Yes. They've got a lot of positives on the team.
Well, look at it this way. Patriots lost. Ravens lost. All these big teams that were
supposed to win. Everybody lost.
I love Tom Brady when he loses, because Tom Brady is an ultimate whiner. Mm-hmm. He is a very angry
man. He's not accustomed to losing.
No, he doesn't like it. It's fun to see him have a tantrum. Now, the trailer that I saw somebody put this up on Facebook and I watched it. This is a movie. I think you mentioned it once, Oscar. I am really looking
what
forward.
Is it?
Lincoln with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah. Oh, I'm all in.
Coming out in November. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Looking like it's going to really, really
spoiler alert.
Ass.
I'm going to tell you how it ends.
Yes. With a bang.
Yes. Other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
You know, you couldn't have made that joke in the late 1800s.
No, you couldn't. It's too soon.
That'd be very
way too soon.
Very much too soon. All right, here is my, and we don't have much time to talk about it. Here is my harebrained Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, whacked out political conspiracy.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme, though, because that's what I like when they're harebrained.
First of all, here's the quote from Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Okay, and can I Google this to see if he really said it?
Yes, you can. Okay. Don't obsess on that. He probably did say it.
All right, just check it.
Nothing happens by accident. If it happens, you can bet it was planned that way. That's Franklin Delano Roosevelt talking about politics. Mm. Now, here's what I'm thinking about this whole Middle East situation that obviously is ultimately hurting the president more than it's hurting Mitt Romney. And that's the fact.
Yeah.
And I begin to wonder, when you see something like this, how did this get sent out to everybody? How did this get everywhere in the Middle East so quickly when really those of us here in the United States aren't really aware of this film or even this trailer, but they're sure aware of it in the Middle East. And I just smell a little bit of a rat with this. Mm-hmm. I smell a little bit of a rat, and I wonder, is there a chance that the guys on one side might have sneaky little people that are, you know, fanning the flames of this? Now, this is a really whacked out conspiracy theory.
Yeah, it is. Or out of control.
Yeah. Spinning.
I am not out of control. Yeah.
Like a whirling dervish.
Listen, it's a theory.
Yeah.
It's a theory when you think
Mike
about
Limbaugh.
This.
It is a little.
What are you doing?
It is Limbaugh.
I'm just thinking out loud.
Jeez.
Am I saying, am I sure that it's true? No, not at all.
Yeah, but you're doing the same thing Limbaugh did last week.
I know. I'm doing the same exact thing.
We killed him for it.
I know. It's the same exact thing. I've never done it before.
I'm sure.
How does it feel?
I'm entitled to one, right?
How does it feel to do it?
Don't you feel like a scumbag?
No.
No.
I really thought about this. You really think it's a possible, like a one in a million chance that's true?
I just wonder that, it helps one team when you, when you incite these people to go out of their minds, and it makes the president look bad. I just wonder about
it. The team that you're suspecting of this isn't that good.
I think you're right.
That's the problem.
I think you're probably right.
They're good.
I was just throwing it out there. Yeah. When I read this quote,
That quote,
nothing happens by accident. If it happens, you can bet it was planned that way, from Franklin Delano Roosevelt on politics. I'm like, well, if that's the case, then maybe all this crap maybe it was planned to help it happen
within
that way.
Politics, I think that's true, but it was still random outside events have always happened and still do. Yeah. And I think that may have been the case here. They're very sensitive about all religion.
Well,
in
first
the
of all,
East.
let's take this film, this trailer for this film.
Right.
I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't bothered.
Nobody sees it because it's not accessible.
Well, you can't find it anymore.
We have Snooki and the NFL and a thousand other things to distract us. They don't so much. They're very focused on religion.
But here is the thing. I'm wondering whether, if we haven't seen it in this country.
Yes.
How did this happen? How did this anger happen over in the Middle East? Is it over this movie?
Partly.
Do they have the kind of computer technology that we have over there where everybody is going to see this?
Yes. Yes, they do.
I don't know.
No, they do.
What everybody, the experts are saying, the security experts are saying, is that someone within these jihadist groups got a hold of this movie. And they made sure that everybody in that region got a chance
used
to see it.
Used it as propaganda.
All right, maybe they did.
And they are hypersensitive about religion. Cultural experts say that people in the Middle East are very sensitive about all religions and think all religions, not just theirs, but all religions are sacred. And that any attack upon religion is a terrible, terrible thing.
But it's just, it says, let's take my harebrained conspiracy theory out of the equation.
Please.
All right, stop it. Don't make it sound worse.
You're
than
better
it is.
Than this.
Don't make it sound worse.
Really not. Stop. He's about right there.
You're an ass. Don't make me sound worse. I'm really not. I'm just throwing some random thoughts out there.
Do you think Monica Lewinsky was planted by the Republican Party?
Maybe.
the worst looking plant I've ever seen.
It doesn't matter who planted her. I planted her in the end.
Mr. President.
What I was going to say, it's like there's such a disconnect between their that land and our land.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know that there's nobody that spends any time thinking about their religion.
They feel under siege. They put this incident in context with that Baptist minister in Florida who was burning the stacks of Korans, or who tried to.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like they don't get it.
There are a number of things that have happened that the reason they're blaming America instead of just one guy for this film is because this is not the first thing to come out of the U.S. that has offended their religion.
Yeah.
So they're seeing a pattern emerging here, and they don't like that pattern, and they're letting us know
it's frustrating.
Though.
Religion is scary.
Yeah, it really is.
And Roosevelt never said that.
Oh, no.
According to WikiQuote, the claimed quote is, "In politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, you can bet it was planned that way." That's the one you cited, FDR.
Yeah.
This is a fake quote. What it might be attributed to is something that he said at the Citadel, 23 October 1935. He did say, "Yes, we are on the way back, not by mere chance, not by turn of the cycle. We are coming back more soundly than ever before because we planned it that way, and don't let anyone ever tell you any differently."
Wow.
Okay.
So it's similar, but certainly not.
You know the difference between me and Rush Limbaugh, though?
What's that?
He wouldn't have like three guys in his own show just sitting there working their asses off to shoot his theory all to hell.
Rob would be dead.
But it's harebrained.
We're friends.
I said, when I set it up, as a harebrained conspiracy theory.
You're just throwing it out to say, yeah. I think it's fine.
It didn't stick to the wall.
I'm going to keep my eyes out on it, though. And then I'll come in there, hey, what do you guys think of that?
Yeah.
Wait till that happens.
You'll show us.
Yeah. FDR also said that don't listen to podcasters.
We will take a break and come right back with Rob and his magic audio vault right after this. Welcome back to MikeOMaraShow.com. Our segment is brought to you by Smart Smoke, the premium e-cigarette. We got a letter from a fellow that said, his name's Adam, said, "Earlier this year, I was diagnosed with mild Crohn's disease. I've been a smoker for about 17 years, and using tobacco products is just about one of the worst things you can do when you have Crohn's." I didn't know that.
I didn't.
"Because of your show, I decided to give Smart Smoke a try, and since using it, I have been off regular cigarettes for about 6 months now, and I've noticed positive changes in how I feel, both in my guts and in general.
Good.
After many times trying to quit smoking, I now actually prefer the Smart Smoke to regular cigarettes, and I've been kind of grossed out by them when I've slipped a few times. So because of your promoting the product, you've actually helped me a lot to discover such a better alternative to regular smoking." I agree with that.
Good job.
"Smart Smoke has the nicotine you crave without the tar, odor, secondhand smoke, or carcinogens. With same-day shipping and a money-back guarantee, Smart Smoke is smarter and the smart alternative to tobacco. It costs 80% less than traditional tobacco products." That's the thing we don't talk about enough.
Oh, man.
It's so much cheaper than regular smokes.
Mark talks about that all the time.
"If you're a cigar lover, try the Belvedere, which lasts as long as 6 double Coronas. To see all the styles, flavors, and strengths, just click the Smart Smoke ad on our website." And let's open up the vault for today, Monday, September 17, Carla birthday day.
Still a hot topic, Mike, the iPhone 5. Everyone's talking about it. I guess it's not out yet, but you can pre-buy it, right?
Yeah, you can pre-order. Actually, I'm in a bit of a pickle here.
A pickle?
It looks like I need to... I probably need to get in line to actually go get one.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, if you want to go pick one up.
Yes.
It's going to be the Nerd Knicks, especially here. You're in the worst part of the country where you're going to get that thing. You're going to have to wait in line because it's all the people that have to have it yesterday.
I'm toying with an idea.
Ass brats.
What's your idea?
Of actually recording Tech 411 from the line.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think that might be very cool.
And talk to people.
That might be very, very cool. And it also might be a disaster.
Yes.
You know what you... I tell you, I guarantee it'd be great. You do wait in line. You do interact with the people, but you have pop culture questions to ask them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
With them. Get to know inside the brain of the people that want the iPhone.
Don't limit it.
I remember. I like the mysticism.
Very good. All right, but anyway, the iPhone 5 is a big deal, but it's not out yet, which is why I love what Jimmy Kimmel did on his show. I believe it was Friday. First, the setup to the bit, okay?
It is kind of funny how people react when the new iPhone comes out. Some people actually get mad. Why would they make another product I desperately want to buy? Those bastards. It's almost as if the new iPhone somehow ruins the old iPhone, but it doesn't. It's all in your head. In fact, we set a camera out on the street today, and we told people outside to check out the new iPhone 5, which is unavailable so far. So in reality, what they were looking at is the current iPhone 4S that everyone has. And, well, here's how that experiment played out.
Funny.
He handed them the current iPhone, the 4S.
Right.
And these are all genuine replies to what they think are the changes on the new iPhone.
The new iPhone 5 just came out today. We want to know if you'll take a look at it. Tell us how it compares to the last iPhone.
I'd love to. Oh, it's way better. Yeah, it's nice.
People are idiots.
Yeah, they are. That's definitely noticeably better.
It's a little thinner. Looks like the screen's a little bigger.
Seems a little bit faster.
Yeah. Faster, lighter.
Feels heavier.
Feels heavier?
I think so.
A lot lighter than the last one. It's a lot faster as well.
Mine's going to take forever.
So this one's faster?
Yeah, definitely faster. Right on.
Oh, it looks very nice. Very nice, very updated.
Oh, my God. It feels a lot lighter and just more, just a lot higher quality. And it's got
perception.
If you drop it, it looks like it's not going to break. Like this one has a million times. The screen is clear, HD.
Yeah.
Colors are brighter.
Oh, it has a video running back?
Mm-hmm.
Video front and back? That's cool. This doesn't have that.
So you like it better than the last one?
Yeah, I have the 4S.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm always open for a new phone.
Apparently.
People, man. And how brilliant that that's how he spun it.
Boy, Kimmel,
good job, Mr. Kimmel.
Kimmel got that right.
He's
staff.
On top of stuff.
Yeah. And what's great about it is the people that said it was light had cases on their phones.
Right.
So they're like, this is so much lighter, and they have an OtterBox on their phone. By the way, it's lighter.
A mofo.
Love it. Fantastic. I have the 4S, and this one seems a lot better. Mike, we've done a lot of stuff in remote broadcasts and stuff where satellite delay has messed us up.
Yep. Oh,
just the skip. That quarter of a second that takes the sound to go to space and come back. This might be the best satellite delay ever.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Listen to this.
Son Jae joins us now from Seoul in South Korea. Jae, were we surprised by the action, the retaliation by the North here?
And by the way, no edits here. Okay.
Yeah. Should be in by now. Wow.
Wait. I'm guessing that perhaps Jae can't hear me. We're used to satellite delays normally when we ask questions to this part of the world, but perhaps
we really weren't,
Don.
I mean, we have been expecting it for some time. Right after North Korea launched its rocket, and there was talk about taking this matter before the UN Security Council. The North Korea.
And now she's about to hear. Again, so she stops.
The North Koreans had been expected to make such.
I say they should roll with it. I don't think it sounded that bad.
I love that.
There are a lot of songs that they've done where they've taken the president and edited him to like sing and auto-tune him. I don't play a lot of them. This one turned out so well that I think they deserve a little credit because this actually has rhyme and rhythm that makes the president rap to the very favorite MC Hammer song, You Can't Touch This.
Okay.
But do you remember when Obama said, you didn't build that?
Right.
Yeah, that's the name of this song.
Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. You didn't build that. You didn't build that.
Oh.
You didn't build that.
What do we got here?
It's an air cannon for shooting marshmallows.
You didn't build that.
Mitt Romney strikes me so hard, it makes me feel like Shirley Sherrod.
It's out of context.
Those words aren't mine.
The private sector is doing fine.
Feels good. When the economy's weak,
responding with a national security leak,
Osama bin Laden, I killed. And that was a mission
you didn't build.
You didn't build that.
And it's a 3.5 minute song. It's on our YouTube page. I invite you to look at it because they have every piece of footage of both Obama and Michelle dancing, awesome. Like on Ellen and stuff like that. And it's a very entertaining video. I thought they did a great job.
Republicans did do that one.
Yeah, I think it's clever.
That is great. I love that.
Clint Eastwood, not ashamed that he spoke to the chair, Mike.
No, of course
one
not.
One advantage of being my age is, you know, what can they do to you? You just have fun and then do what you think and you can say what you think. You don't have to edit yourself.
The amazing thing is that video, he was talking to a bed. But he's
the
not
Bill
ashamed.
Hader sketch was so funny.
It was, and you know why? Because he pulled his pants up that high.
Yeah. It was great.
Love that. Jerry the King Lawler, who had a heart attack 1 week ago this very day.
Yeah, and he's back.
Released a video. He's doing okay.
Eating cake.
And for a guy who was clinically dead for 10 minutes, doesn't sound like there's any brain damage.
Hi, everybody. Jerry the King Lawler here, still in a Montreal hospital. I feel sort of like the bionic man. I got more wires coming out of me than AT&T, but I want to thank the entire WWE Universe for all your well wishes. Thank you all.
So I wish him well. Good
Jerry
guy.
Lawler, you are so interesting because your
now.
Kid is.
I have to be.
That would not be anywhere near the audio vault.
Well, we don't want him to die.
No, we don't.
No,
the other guy, Michael Cole, he can die. I don't like
Didn't
him so much.
Didn't Jerry Lawler do some movies, too? Hasn't he been in some movies?
Oh, I'm sure. I think he was in Taxi Driver. No, I'm kidding. I don't
think
know.
He's been in B-movies.
I'm sure he has. I'm sure he has. Mitt Romney and Ann Romney did the Live with Michael Strahan program. They taped it, as all the politicians do. They do it on their own schedule.
I haven't looked at that yet.
So it will be, it'll air, I think, tomorrow, but we have some preview tape. They asked the Romneys their take on reality shows, Mike.
Do you keep up with the Kardashians?
Who keeps up with the Kardashians? Who can keep up with the Kardashians?
I'm afraid not. All right, this is the most serious question of all. Honey Boo Boo or Snooki?
Do you know who either of these two are?
I'm kind of a Snooki fan. I mean, is she?
This man is lying. He has no idea. But he tries.
Well,
he tries
see.
To spin
what
it. Yeah.
Say?
Baby
look,
now.
Look, I mean, look how tiny she's gotten. She's lost weight and she's energetic. I mean, just her spark plug personalities.
Well, he knows.
He was prepped. He was prepped.
I think everything that came out of anybody's mouth during that segment was prearranged.
Oh, I'm sure.
Absolutely on
both
sides.
And I'm sure it was, he will do your show if you do this.
Furnish him with a question.
Exactly. They also asked what he would want to play him and his wife in a motion picture. Who would you cast as Mitt Romney in a motion picture?
Boy, that's tough.
I'd do James Brolin.
I think maybe you could get Ben Affleck to play him.
Dolph Lundgren.
Too young.
Dolph Lundgren. As the wife, though.
Yes.
Anyway, Dolph Lundgren. So here's how they handled the movie casting. Here are the Mike, it's the Romneys.
Who would you pick to play each other in the movie?
Let's see. Well, you think about that. For me, my favorite actor is Gene Hackman, so I'd like Gene Hackman.
You want Gene Hackman to play your wife?
Or to play me, or to play her?
Kelly.
Oh, Kelly.
Safe television.
I think for her, maybe Michelle Pfeiffer.
That's actually perfect. Oh, he's made it easy for me, for Gene Hackman. I mean,
Gene Hackman. Michelle Pfeiffer gives me wood.
Yeah, you like her?
Yeah.
Who else do you like?
I get a big Woody.
You like Gene Hackman?
I like Heidi Klum. I like her line of baby supplies at Babies R Us. Even though she's not married to Seal anymore.
Hey, what's with his face?
I don't know.
Does it make you uneasy? It
doesn't give me wood.
No, you don't like his face.
Michelle Pfeiffer gives me wood.
Spotlight on
spark plug.
How far would you grow away from New Haven, Connecticut?
How far what?
How far away from New Haven, Connecticut is where you grew up?
30 minutes.
Okay. New Haven, Connecticut has an orchestra, and this weekend they debuted their new arrangement. This is a full orchestral and choral arrangement of the Carly Rae Jepsen song, Call Me Maybe. What is wrong with Connecticut, Mike? Why are they doing this?
I don't know.
That's cool. Like
it's pretty.
It is pretty.
A lot of people are calling it the song of the summer, Mike.
Really?
Well, not this version.
Not this version, no. But anyway, I like cool. that. I like orchestras.
It is nice.
And I close with Conan O'Brien. Did you know that there are 195 countries in the world, and 193 of them have Coca-Cola?
Coca-Cola. This is fascinating. Coca-Cola is now sold in 193 of 195 of the world's countries. Can you believe that? Yeah. Yeah, the holdouts are Cuba and the former Soviet Republic of caffeine-free 7-Upistan.
And that, Mike, that is your Magic Audio Vault.
We will take a break and come back with Buzz and News right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, I haven't had a chance to check in with Mark Ronick, but I want to remind everybody that we are looking for our band, our house for Reno. We have gotten a few takers, and we are still looking for more. So if you are interested in that, make sure that you get that out as soon as you possibly can.
Do it for the glory.
It was renoband@mikeomarashow.com. You can send an entry to that email address.
Let me see.
Wouldn't it be great if we get the fantastic Johnny C to perform?
Oh, it would be great. That address again, Rob, was
renoband@mikeomarashow.com. Send those emails right away.
Deadline for entries is October 10th. Although TMOS reserves the right to name a winner Did anybody see the Pulsators?
They look good.
They're pretty darn good with the horn section and everything
like
else.
That.
So they're up there. They sent me one. If you've got a band and you're in the Reno, Nevada area, you're looking for fabulous exposure, we're looking for you. We're not taking auditions for our house band. We invite any three-piece or greater musical ensemble to send their audition video or YouTube clip to houseband@mikeomarishow.com. This could be your ticket to fame and fortune. All entries will be judged on musicianship, stage presence, and star quality. The winner will be our house band at the Mike O'Mara Live Show on November 10th at Circus Circus. Get it out on your Facebook pages, boys.
There is a Reno band link on our webpage at MikeOMaraShow.com. You can click that if you'd like to submit.
You can't miss it.
Send videos and YouTube clips to houseband@MikeOMaraShow.com. We thank you in advance. Now, without further ado, let's get right to it. Buzz Burbank and the Neos.
Thank you, Mike. We're brought to you today by Encore Insurance Services,
Encore.
LLC, official sponsor of our live stage show November 10th at Circus Circus in Reno. Even if you already have life insurance, you might be paying too much. Encore may be able to help you, just as they helped Oscar Santana.
Yeah, it's super easy, and you've got one person dealing with you, and they make it like really, really, it's a pleasure to work with them.
And you're happy.
And really, Encore is such a great organization for this show. They've been so supportive for us. They supported us during our spring show. They're supporting this fall show that we're doing on November 10th, and we thank them from the bottom of our heart. Please give them a call just to let you know, let them know that you care and you support our show, and you might get some wonderful financial information.
They literally do all the work for you.
Right.
You just give them information. That's it. That's all.
Licensing and disclaimer info at smartterm.com. For a free quote, visit smartterm.com or call 866-347-5748. They will compare rates to help you save.
Encore, Mike.
Now,
Encore.
Apple, as you may have heard, is charging $29 for the adapter to charge the iPhone 5. $39 if you want a cable with that.
I was going to give you a live one.
Hey, Apple. On the adapters alone, Apple stands to make an additional $100 million over the next 12 months.
Zang!
Just on the adapters.
That's pretty good for them.
Not bad.
Not too shabby. I think this is fake. People saying they're all up in arms about it. So you have to get a new adapter. They're going to have a little thing that you...
It's going
to
come with one.
I know, right. But why $29? Isn't it like $10 or $11 worth of parts?
You go to the store that sells the knockoff places.
That's true.
The knockoff adapters.
Oh, but that's Apple's newest thing now is the little flag that comes up on your phone that says this device is not compatible.
But it still does. It
yeah. still does
oh, yeah, it. Still yeah.
works. And also,
annoying.
You know what? We all bought the adapters that we're having to get rid of.
Right.
We all
right.
bought them all along. You got one when you bought your phone.
I have a Mophie case. True. They say that's not compatible, but it does. It charges and it works.
Right.
So, c'est la vie.
Mophie.
And how's that? Mophie. How's that do not call list working out for you? The government says complaints about robocalls from telemarketers are up, way up, despite the do not call registry that came online nearly 10 years ago. But Do Not Call is more than just a list of 209 million phone numbers of people who don't want to be bothered. It's a set of rules that, among other things, requires telemarketers to check every month to make sure that they're not calling those numbers.
I had to send Verizon away the other day.
Really?
After about 14 calls in a row. Say, hey, Verizon, go away.
That's because these companies are not bothering to check so much as they did when the law was new. The government's looking at
them. Have them call me.
I will.
I haven't had a call in a while.
Really?
I got one 2 weeks ago, but that's it.
You know what? The next time, seriously, the next time that I get a call like that, I'm going to give him your number.
Do it. Yeah.
I'm not interested, but I got a guy that was talking about it. Would you like a number? I'll give you a lead.
Oh, no, you should say you have to speak with my proxy.
That's right. He can be reached at 703.
My partner.
My partner.
My life partner.
Domestic partner. Google says it will not remove from YouTube the Muslim slandering video that set off violent anti-American protests throughout the Middle East and North Africa. Google has blocked access to the video in India and Indonesia because the laws in those countries require them to do so. But Google also temporarily blocked access to the video in Libya and Egypt last week for a while because of what it called a delicate situation. Google says its foremost concern is freedom of expression. And while the video continues, so do the protests. U.S. officials say they expect these protests will go on for some time. Protests have gotten less fierce, if that's any consolation.
Its foremost concern is freedom of expression. Okay, even if it kills people, no problem.
Partly because of the crackdowns by various governments, the protests are less vicious now. Muslims in these countries, as I pointed out before, blame the U.S. and not just one crazy filmmaker for the slandering their religion. They are remembering that crazy Quran-burning Baptist minister in Florida. They do, in fact, see a pattern here.
But I've heard that this video is obscene. I heard it. It is so derogatory towards their faith. It's obscenity. So they don't put Google doesn't put obscenity out there. So why not? Prevent people freedom from of seeing this.
They want to be able to express themselves.
Yes, freedom of expression.
What about that girl that's dancing?
Which one?
With like, you haven't seen it with a huge ass. It's all she does.
Oh, really?
She's got like up 3 million views.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
type in huge ass.
All right. Good stuff.
Search.
You can't
huge
miss it.
Ass search. Yeah, do that.
Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu is turning up the heat on his campaign to get the U.S. to come down on Iran for its nuclear program. Netanyahu says that in 6 months, Iran will be 90% done in its development of a threatening nuclear weapon.
I like his search engine better than Google anyway.
Netanyahu.
You know, one of the things I watched was this former head of Mossad for Israel, and he is saying that he does not agree with Netanyahu, that we should go in and attack Iran because you're going to have a retaliation that's going to be, it's just going to set the Middle East on fire.
You set off a conflagration. Exactly. And it's difficult because Netanyahu makes a compelling argument, and he makes it very, very well. I mean, listening to him speak yesterday, it was hard to disagree with a lot of his logic, and yet at the same time, you know what that'll set off if we take that
action.
And
he also says a lot of people are talking 3 or 4 sites where these nuclear programs are being developed, and this guy from Mossad said, no, it's more like 12.
Right.
Wow. So try to do that in one fell swoop. He said you might not take their, you will delay them, but you will not eliminate
them. Nothing easy about it, no.
So with this all this turmoil that's going on, it's a thought that I had, and maybe you guys shared or you don't. I figure the environmentalist in me says, we shouldn't touch Alaska. We shouldn't really expand offshore drilling. But after everything that's been going on through my lifetime, this has been going on for generations in that
absolutely.
Region.
Yeah. And it'll go on long after we're long gone.
I'm on the other side now where I sit there. I'm like, let's just get away from all of this and just take our chances with the environment and get the oil.
Would be nice to be able to remove ourselves from it.
I have some of the same feeling. It's we need energy independence as quickly as we can get it. But at the same time, as we do that, as we enter into that, we need to do it in such a way that will get us back out of our dependence on fossil fuels as quickly as possible. In trying to make it all
wouldn't it be great if we could, burn some of that?
I'd say we could get that. And, we put that out.
Drill, baby, drill.
Forgive me, but in addition to energy independence from other countries, we need to also learn to become independent from the fossil fuels. So I hope we do both at the same time and not just pad the oil companies.
No, I agree
process.
With you. It's just you sit there, you're like, okay, how much is my gas going to go up now because they can't handle
you know what's
going
weird
on?
Is when they were doing this report last night and they showed a panoramic view of Tel Aviv, which would be the site where Iran would retaliate with missiles if we attacked their nuclear. And they're saying there's a 90% chance that they would retaliate. And, Netanyahu, that's their country over there. And it's interesting to think that, you're going to be attacked by Iran if you knock out these nuclear sites. It's mind-boggling to think that,
scary.
It's one thing for us to discuss it, and I get nervous even thinking about it. But if you lived in Tel Aviv and, your country was on the verge of doing a preemptive strike
we'd
in
feel
Iran,
differently, yeah.
and you knew that those missiles were going to come into your, disrupting your daily life, thousands of people are going to be killed. It's just a weird part
of the world.
You
think it's tense over there? Like, if they're at the self-checkout line, there's got to be the temper's got to be running high.
I don't know.
It's got to be scary.
I think they're so used to living with the cloud
can you really
of being
ever,
surrounded by people that hate them.
Can you get that used to that?
I have no idea.
That's weird.
It is still a close race for the White House. Nationally, President Obama's leading Mitt Romney by 4 percentage points, but with the margin of error at 3%, that lead could be as small as 1%. Meanwhile, those new voter ID laws aimed at keeping some likely Democratic voters away from the polls beginning to fall by the wayside. Last week, a state Supreme Court justice in Pennsylvania asked lawyers for both sides why the voter ID law proposal came up right smack dab in the middle of a presidential election. Quoting the justice, could there be politics, maybe? The laws were proposed as a way of targeting voter fraud, a problem that statistically doesn't exist. Texas, meanwhile, is sending out letters to thousands of registered voters asking them to verify that they're not dead. If you hate those traffic cameras, especially the speed cameras, this may make your head explode.
Yeah, Mike.
In Maryland's Prince George's County, they're now putting up cameras to watch the cameras. That's because angry motorists keep shooting the cameras with guns or setting them on fire.
But what's to stop them from getting the other camera?
That's it. Shh.
What?
And finally,
they put the other cameras in a secret location.
Put them in a dark place.
Very what? Dark. And finally, thank you again, Florida. A Vero Beach man's been arrested in the dressing room of a Beals store where he was allegedly stuffing things in his pants.
Is that where you still do your shopping, Mike?
Beals.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
all up there. Sure. 38-year-old Byron Harvey had reportedly shoplifted about $450 worth of shoes, clothing, and other items and put them into his pants. $450 worth.
Hi, I'm Byron Harvey.
Where police say they also found a half dozen green pills. Harvey says the pills belonged to his girlfriend. He says she'd been wearing the pants earlier. Mm-hmm. But Harvey himself was apparently under the influence of booze and pills, telling a deputy he had gone 3 days without sleep.
Oh, dear.
He was also charged with violently resisting arrest, which makes sense on account of the arm tattoo that reads, Thug. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Green pills.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
Our show is brought to you by TLC Laser Eye Center. They're friendly. They're good people. The TLC lifetime commitment is huge, and they have locations all over the nation. If you move, you're covered. To schedule a free consultation and to see what you've been missing, call 877-TLC-2020. That's 877-TLC-2020. Or find TLC online at LASIK.com. That's LASIK.com. Be sure to tell them you heard about TLC on the Mike O'Mara Show. TLC Laser Eye Center. We thank them, and we thank you for joining us. Don't forget, check out that Haitian Angels location for us.
Banner is on our website. Click it and be generous.
And come out and see me at the winery where I won't be drinking wine based on Saturday night.
We'll see about that.
Yeah. Thank you all. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Thank you.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.